Nui Loa. This is Monica of Monica.ca, and you're on my Healing World, Smoking Hot. I hope you are having a great week before the holiday seasons, the madhouse of visiting with family and wrapping presents and baking and cooking and all that stuff. I just got back from Ashland, Oregon, where I had the pleasure of driving my girlfriend down to visit a friend of hers who is a documentary filmmaker. And it was just an auspicious moment to be able to be of service to her, to drive her down and just be around while she's, you know, making her dreams come true. It was just such a real pleasure to be part of that crew. And had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Gary Zukov. I gave him a hug and screamed in his ear, and I was very excited to meet the man who wrote The Seed of the Soul, one of my first books on metaphysics that spurred me on to this life of living in the quantum field. Anyways, you know, I've been blogging and writing about light, and I realized that maybe, you know, I've been living the path of the books I've read and really hadn't really anchored them in until I actually started corrupting in my own way, my body not working. And I read a little bit of a part of his book that I thought I'd just read to you, because I just wanted to show you that we are so much a part of nature, that, you know, nature is part of us, and we're not taught that. So I'm going to read something from his book, The Dancing Wu Li Masters, and that was written in like 1979. Can you believe it? Way back then. Yeah, 1979, revised in 2001. I remember being in Whistler, B.C., and I think it was in 1988 I started reading his books, and so this has actually was written 10 years before I even started being somewhat of a hippie. So he wrote, Isidore I. Rabi, the Nobel Prize winner in physics and the former chairman of the physics department at Columbia University, wrote, "We don't teach our students enough of the intellectual content of experiments, their novelty, and their capacity for opening new fields. My own view is that you take these things personally. You do an experiment because of your own philosophy, makes you want to know the result. It's too hard, and life is too short to spend your time doing something just because someone else says it's important. You must feel the thing yourself. Unfortunately, most physics are not like Grabi. The majority of them, in fact, do spend their lives doing whatever other people have told them is important. That was the point Robbie was making. This brings us to a common misunderstanding. When most people say scientist, they mean technician. A technician is a highly trained person whose job is to apply known techniques and principles. He deals with the known. A scientist is a person who seeks to know the true nature of physical reality. He deals with the unknown. In short, scientists discover and technicians apply. However, it is no longer evident whether scientists really discover new things or whether they create them. Many people believe that discovery is the act of creation. If this is so, then the distinction between scientists, poets, and painters and writers is not clear. In fact, it's possible that scientists, poets, painters, and writers are all members of the same family of people whose gifts it is by nature is to take things which we call commonplace and to represent them to us in such a way that it's our self-imposed limitations are expanded. These people in whom this gift is especially pronounced, we call geniuses. So that's the person I hugged and screamed at, a person who was able to write that in 1979. And for me, I just feel so honored to have met someone that was able to open my eyes to how to explore, to understand that everything starts with the beginning and that no one is perfect. Everyone just has to understand their wants and desires and then strive to get there, you know, reach their goals and understand that nature is one part of us that we have to discover so that we are able to expand our horizons, expand our abilities to know. I was hoping that I could talk about cold and flu season because my podmaster, Sam Crawley, mentioned that it would be of great service that someone in the health and healing industry could explain being sick. And I was kind of, you know, thinking to myself, the only time I think of how to get myself out of being sick is when I'm sick. And I don't think about being sick until I'm there. And then hopefully I have enough tools to kind of abate that motion into being sick. That is why, for me, you know, I have the tools that I'd have. I want to be aware. I want to be able to name the things that might cause the body to not work, to go into a state of dis-ease, you know, create all that sickness. And I think the reason why Sam was hoping that we could do that for the community was that he has a very close friend of his, a high school friend, who's not well, who ended up in the hospital this week, and then all his kids are sick as well. So he put it out on his on our Facebook work page, and you know, it kind of got me thinking to what is it that allows us to weaken, allows us to allow our bodies to call a day off, you know. Is it possible to call a day off before you even get sick? Or do we just constantly spin into this quagmire of do until the point where we can't stop the reaction in happening? Easier to be proactive. I mean, in China, you're not allowed to be paid unless your person is healthy. So it's when the doctor is feeling, when the client or the patient is well, that's, I guess, when a person is paying. You don't pay the doctor if you're sick. So it's very important to advise a person to stay well, be paid for that, and not the other way around, where you get sick and then you're paying the doctor to keep you well. One of the things that I always recommend is to understand that you are dirt, that you're dirt and water and air. And the Chinese have it really done well, where that's explained to people in part of their cultures. You notice that in Italy or in China, most people wear scarves around their necks. It's to keep the neck from chilling. They also keep, you know, some warmth around the kidneys. You know, when it gets cold, you have to dress properly for the seasons. You have to eat for the seasons. You know, warm and yummy, not cold and dry. You know, things that will take energy from your body to help digest. It's better to put the heat back in and put the nutrients back in so that the body has something to work with. You know, stay away from the sugars. Sugars are the bane of the body. What it does is it just feeds the worms and the parasites within the body. All that inflammation and infection and, you know, all the mucus and phlegm, that's all indicative of an infection in the body. Some big wars going on, and those are all the dead bodies. And so if it isn't coming out your bottom, it's definitely coming out your nose. Just, you know, people always say to me, oh, you know, I don't know, understand why I have a head cold. Well, you know, you have to understand that your digestive system isn't working, and so it's plugged up, And rather than it having to go down a spot that can't bubble out, it's going to come up and into your throat and into your nose. That is my philosophy. You know, hopefully you'll laugh and you'll take it to your doctor, and your doctor will say, ah, bunch of hogwash. Well, that's my idea, and I'll give it to you. So what can you do? Nice, warm, yummy soups. Hopefully vegetable-based. But if you want to go into meats, especially if you're very skinny. If you're very skinny, then you want to do a beef broth or a chicken broth or any kind of broth, and that will provide the amino acids for the cells to fortify so it can fight the infection. I would recommend that you stay away from fruit, because fruit is too cold and chilling for the body. Not any orange juices or apple juices. It just, what it is that when you drink something that cold, you end up chilling the internal tissue. And again, the body is taking the energy that it could fight the infection, and it's trying to keep itself warm. And you want to just respect that the body is in need of support and not having to kind of rough it on its own. So there you go. I think lots of fluids, hopefully warm water, with a bit of lemon, again, to help alkaline the body. Alkalinity is an important piece of the solution, the solution being your blood. Your blood is a 7.2 mechanism. It likes to be at that pH. A good way to tell if your pH is on the ball is take a pH strip that you can get from any health food store, and then go into the bathroom and just, you know, tinkle on it, and you'll see that it'll change color, and it will be an indicator of how acid or alkaline your body is. I betcha if you're really, really sick, you're going to have very acidic pee. If you are healthy, you're likely to be very much around, you know, 7.2, which is about a greenish color towards a bluish color. You don't want to get too blue, because what's happening is that you're then alkalining. And alkalining too much in the long run will cause a buildup of minerals. And that in itself is great, because I'd rather have minerals in me than minerals being broken off from my my bones to neutralize the blood. That's what you get, the osteoporosis. You get the vertebrae's not building up properly. So there you go. I hope you're happy with that. That's Sam's recommendation. He said, someone out there, give me some clues on how to stay well. And I go, okay, I think I'll do it this way. We'll see how it goes. So wherever you are out there, have a great day, and welcome to my healing world. Namaste.